and Sprague.
Down to SGA, body just inside a half. Dribbles, pass the three-point line into the lane. Got deep and scored! They couldn't keep SGA out of the creases, and he's given the Thunder a 14-point edge.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Landeskog, stopped by Stone. Eichel sends it in. 3 seconds to go. Vegas goes back to the Stanley Cup final. They sweep the President's Trophy winning Avalanche in the Western Conference final.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
What is happening?
How we doing? How we feeling?
I love it. A little Dak Prescott to start my hump day. I'm ready to get my hump on today.
I just felt like it was appropriate.
Here we go!
It's an all-time great quarterback cadence call.
Without
There's
a
no
doubt.
Doubt.
It's one of the most recognizable ones right now in modern NFL football.
I would argue... I think it's in the conversation of all time.
All time most recognizable?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to go back to the colors and the numbers from the old quarterbacks. Outside of him, like in modern times, there's like Cam Newton stands out, Rodgers stands out.
Yeah,
those are some of the few. But a lot of the other guys, I feel like I don't know much about.
That's what I'm saying. Is like Cam and Dak really separated themselves.
I feel like I always
knew majority.
Favre. I always knew Favre.
What's Favre's? Say it.
What it was? Blue. Wasn't it Blue 48?
It might have been Blue 48.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find that. I know Rodgers, Green 19 is Rodgers, right?
Green 19. This is my point, though. Yeah. It might be Blue 48, but if it's not Blue 48, you can't say Favre's is memorable.
No, it was not.
Because Dak and Cam said words. It wasn't a color number.
Right.
Yeah, here we go.
Blue
Ready?
58. Brett Favre, Blue 58.
58.
Blue 58.
Yeah, see, I got to take it out.
You knew the color. You were close, but yeah, didn't quite
40,
have the number.
40.
Yeah, same.
I got to take it out. Yeah, it's not the same.
Strike it from the record. Doesn't count.
Exactly.
Yeah, Cam Newton, Dak Prescott.
Well, is that just me being old and my memory starting to go?
No, I couldn't remember it either. I knew. I'm with you. I knew it was a color and a number. Felt very confident in blue, but I don't know if I would have answered 58.
Yeah, it is, but also I don't think it's as memorable as Ready and Yeah, Here We Go.
Ready!
See, you didn't even do it right. It's almost like he tees it up like a question, like at the beginning of it.
There's an up, it goes swings ready? Up at the end of Ready.
Yeah.
It goes all the way up to the end of
are
it.
Are you asking me a question? Nope.
No, I'm not. Cam, actually, no, I'm not ready. Please hold on. I'm not quite.
Football.
Don't hike it yet. I'm not ready. Wait. Okay, now I'm ready. Now you can hike the ball. Well, hey, yeah, okay, now I'm ready to go. Hey.
I think Yeah, Here We Go is like an all-timer.
I'm with you. This is the year. I got a Super Bowl ticket on the Cowboys.
Did you really bet them?
This is the year. This is the year.
What'd you get
disgusting.
Them at?
I can't remember.
They have to be a super long shot.
I mean, it's also you have to remember the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys, so they're not as
they're
much
not
of
even
a long
shot.
It's
not a Super Bowl ticket. I think I have an AFC ticket on that.
It's not like a Cleveland
an
Browns
NFC ticket?
Super Bowl
or
ticket.
Or NFC ticket, sorry. Yeah,
because there's no chance they're a top five favorite to win the Super Bowl.
What did I get it at? Hold on. Let me. No, I got to scroll to my best.
They might be like top 10.
Yeah, but that's still amazing odds.
Should be.
I mean, it's not going to happen. We all know that.
Like,
is
Seattle the favorite?
The Rams are the favorite
Rams
in the NFC.
Are the favorite.
What are they? They're 3 or 4 to 1.
Plus 425. Then it's Seattle plus 500. Philly plus 750. Packers plus 800.
Yep.
Niners plus 9. Lions same plus 9. Then the Dallas Cowboys plus 1300.
Yeah, 13-1.
So 13-1. They're tied with the Bears, and then shortly after them are the Bucks and the Minnesota Vikings.
And you bet them to win the Super Bowl?
I bet them to win the NFC. I bet them to win the NFC.
Well,
and I know that's not
going to
cash. It ain't going
to
happen.
Super Bowl.
I get it. Just to get to the Super Bowl. I understand it won't cash, but you know.
Why did you want to bet them?
I don't know. It feels dirty doing it. I got a hunch. I got a feeling. My spidey senses are tingling right now. I think the NFC is wide open. I don't think we're going to get a back-to-back champion.
Okay.
The Rams are really good, but also I think have some question marks on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe it's all been improved with their offseason. Niners are getting older and need to stay healthy. You know how I feel about the Eagles and their Cowboys.
You don't think the
quarterback
Seahawks
situation.
Can run it back?
I don't think we're built for that in the modern NFL.
Back-to-backs are so
unless you have
so
Patrick
tough.
Mahomes. I think that's such a challenging thing to do.
Yep.
Until Mahomes did it a couple of years ago and then damn near won three, we went 20 years without getting one. So maybe we're in an era of back-to-back champs happening all of a sudden. So it was more of just looking at the NFC and not loving the landscape and saying, what the hell.
I think it's a combo of like winning back-to-back and how incredibly difficult the league tells us it is.
Yeah.
Paired with, are you going to win a game because a guy picked a football up to hand it to the ref?
Is that going to go your way again?
And that gives you home field advantage paired with...
What are the chances of that happening?
Are you also going to play debatably the worst AFC representative team in how long?
Right, right. Who doesn't get there, in my opinion, if Bo Nix stays healthy in the AFC title game.
Yes.
And they probably still win the Super Bowl, but it's a much more competitive game against Denver and Bo Nix.
No, like you won the Super Bowl. Yeah. All is fair, but I'm just asking like some of the stuff that went your way.
Right.
Also, like I'm trying to remember their injury luck. Because that's also a part of the equation is like who stays healthy and how long do they stay healthy for?
I feel like Seahawk fan will let us know if we're wrong there. I don't remember a lot of major injuries on defense. You obviously had Charbonnet get hurt at the end of the year.
Yeah, but that...
But that was in the back half of the year and you were already deep at running back.
He's a split running back. It's not like make or break in your whole
system. No, it wasn't the focal point of your offense, if you will. JSN, to my knowledge, stayed healthy all year. Darnold didn't miss a game, so you didn't have to play a backup quarterback.
I think your O-line was relatively good.
If I remember correctly, stayed relatively healthy. Might have had a game here or there, you know, where somebody misses. It's the NFL and it's a long season.
But for the most part,
feels like they were pretty healthy last year.
It worked out for them really well.
Everything goes your way and you capitalize when it happens.
I won't dismiss the idea of them repeating.
Yeah.
But it's just so incredibly difficult. I hear what you're saying, but it still feels
it's
gross.
It's the Cowboys. I get it. I'm an idiot and I feel dirty doing it. I'm not happy about this. You think I like who I am?
Oh, God.
How about them Cowboys?
Well, we met our sports radio obligation of talking Dallas Cowboys.
We did.
Today's
there you go. Let's also, can we argue about Aaron Rodgers now? What do you think his legacy is in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, that's the next one. And then we'll get to the Lakers.
Is LeBron going to be back next year?
Guys are auditioning for first take that I don't know about.
Yeah, I need to start. This is what we're doing.
Okay. That's, get the hell out of here.
We're shooting for the moon,
dude. I'll clip this for you.
Thank you. Send it to the ESPN suits, please.
They have to split
us up. The choke will never win a champion. Oh, wait, no, he already has a few. Damn it. All right, my bad.
Dirt's going to be gone tomorrow and Friday. They're actually sending him to New York to do some tryouts.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's the golf tournament in Eugene is a cover for my tryout for first take. So
they're flying the PJ for you.
Flying the PJ out.
Sneaking you out real quick.
Wish me good luck. I'm going to go yell.
It is.
It'll be fun.
It's one thing to take a day off because you have scheduled vacation.
Yeah.
It is not even a close debate of the two of us that just gets to miss work. For reasons that aren't vacation, you have easily won the contest.
This one's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not even sure it's remotely close. I'm trying to think of what I've had to... I've never had an individual come up to me and say, hey, I need you to miss tomorrow's radio show. And I'd be like, cool, for what?
Yeah, what do you need?
I need you to go golf with Dan Lanning. That's not happened to me.
That hasn't happened to you?
Nope.
They didn't do that one to you?
They didn't say, hey, I want you to go to a media day and get crap audio that we're not even going to use as a station, but you're going to miss an entire program.
Yeah, I got to drive to Eugene. I will get free lunch out of the deal, too.
Yeah, of course you will.
With some good teriyaki chicken served in the media room.
Hey, I need you
to
miss your show.
I'm going to eat the hell out of that.
You need to go to Nike to talk to high school kids who are never going to talk to you because they don't really know what you do.
Now, in fairness, that one sucked. I would much rather do the show than that. Now, play golf in Eugene.
The media day.
Yeah. The media day is not
that was
that
the
fun,
most useless day.
Media day was pretty bad.
Us sending you to get media day audio when it clearly was being streamed was so idiotic. I did not understand that.
We don't have technology to pull that stuff off the internet. You need people down there shaking hands and kissing babies, all right? You need a face. Okay. We need a front man for our station. The worst one of all of them was easily the high school one. Trying to talk to high school kids about radio was not... That was not fun. Because they didn't care.
Another dumb thing
they
that we did.
They didn't want to hear anything about what I had to say. And you get in, like, you're sitting at a table, and it's just like, you know, bouncing table to table, and you're just hopping around. None of them wanted to be there.
No.
And you know, like, 1 minute into your spiel about working in radio, that nobody's listening to a word you're saying. And I almost just half-heartedly wanted to be like, should we just sit here and say, like, you guys want me to just shut up? You just want to sit on your phones like, what?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd rather do?
I think that's what they would rather have.
For the next 20 minutes of this session? Because I'm going to run out of my voice at this point talking about radio.
Yeah, that was probably, of all the stuff, that was probably the most contentious topic for me and our old boss.
Yeah, missing shows for random reasons.
Missing shows for reasons that, like, if it made sense in my mind, I totally would get it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think tomorrow is particularly a high order of reasons to be missing a show, But I understand the brand man doesn't want to golf alone.
Exactly.
And he's pinning this as like, oh, you're going to be down there with the movers and shakers.
You know?
And maybe you will shake hands and kiss babies.
I've requested the chocolate vanilla coach to play with.
Oh, have you?
I mean, Dusty doesn't know who we're playing with, and I'm like, can we play with chocolate or vanilla?
Are you playing with coaches? Is that what's happening?
He believes we're playing with coaches, yeah. He doesn't think it'll be a DC or an OC, but one of the coaches who doesn't want to talk to people but, like, recognizes Dusty's name of, like, oh, I know him, I'll play with him.
There you
and
go.
And I'm recommending chocolate or vanilla. I'd love to play 18 holes with that guy.
If it is a quality control coach, I am going to burn this building to the ground.
I hope it's an assistant strength and conditioning coach.
Oh, my God.
So I can get some, you know, some tips.
Just a useless day off for
so
you.
So, what do you do
golf
with those bands? How do you get your back? How do you get your core going before the game?
If it is chocolate or vanilla, there's got to be a picture somewhere with an ice cream sandwich,
one of
or
each,
a dip cone, or something with
I
you.
I need a jokey photo of him eating one cone of each
or
and
a
not
swirl,
deciding
like swirl frozen yogurt.
Yeah, what's the call there?
You need to lean in.
Are you confident enough in your decision making?
In a moment of silence, you need to lean in and you need to go. A strawberry's pretty good. And just give no context.
What about mint chocolate chip?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good mint chocolate chip?
The green mint chocolate chip.
Right? I hope he has a point where he's in between clubs on a tee box, hits the wrong club, and I tell him, yeah, you chose vanilla.
Rocky Road always delivers.
Rocky Road is solid. I mean, I got no beef with
it's
Rocky
a ridiculous,
Road.
It's one of the all-time dumb takes a coach has ever said out loud.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty dumb.
But
the second Dante Moore throws a pick, I know that's going to go viral.
Oh, yeah, dude.
In a big game, in a big moment, he turns the ball over.
He was thinking about what flavor, and he couldn't make his mind up.
The second that happens next year, that clip's going to be all over the internet.
You know what I would do? If I was an opposing fan of Oregon, and he threw, like, a really bad pick in a big game, I already have Photoshopped, or at least I have the idea of making one of the two DBs chocolate or vanilla.
Ooh, there you go.
And so wherever he's looking, there's both. And so right before he throws it, you go, he couldn't make his mind up.
Couldn't decide which one he wanted to go to there.
That's what I would do if I was a fan.
Vanilla just picked him
time
off.
On my hands.
You can't be indecisive in the pocket. Come on now.
Yeah.
You got to be better than that. I think an AI picture, too, of him looking at a chocolate cone and a vanilla cone, but like sweating with a concerned look on his face is also a pretty good poll.
That's a pretty good
one. I'm giving people the ammunition that you need next year to make fun of me when something goes wrong with my football team, because I know it's going to happen. It's only a matter of time.
So Dirt will be out tomorrow. He's going to go golf with the Oregon legends down in Eugene.
Hopefully Josh Wilcox is there. Can I say what up to Josh? I haven't seen him in years.
Is it like alums are going
to
be there?
I don't know. I don't really know what the full story is. I just got asked to go play in an Oregon golf tournament, and I said yes.
Very interesting.
It's also simultaneously my Friday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, and it's a very weird feeling.
It's your Friday.
Yes, but it's also Tuesday because it's our second show of the week. But it's Wednesday.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
It's
your Friday.
It is my Friday.
That's the only day you need to say
I mean, ultimately, that's the only one that matters. Yeah. That's it. Right. I don't really care what you guys get into over the next 4 hours. I'm out of here.
That's a great mentality to have. We're ready to go today.
I can tell you.
I got into a little bit of a argument yesterday in our office. So I want to ask you guys, is it too harsh not to eat at a place that has less than a 4 out of 5 star ranking online?
No. Too harsh to not eat at a place?
Is it too harsh?
Like if they have 3.5 like stars out of 5?
If you look up a restaurant that somebody says, hey, let's go eat at this place, and you just want to look up the menu and you find it, and it says 3.8.
Those are the reviews that come in.
Well, it's just the average.
Yeah.
Are you?
I got no issue with it.
We're not going.
I got no issue with it. I'll eat anywhere, man.
Mm.
I would guess that your prices would be a little bit cheaper. Now, if your prices aren't cheaper and you're a 3-star restaurant,
I would look
then
and
I'm out.
See what the stars are, because I'm mostly going like if it's for like service or stuff like that, but the food's really good. Like I'm going to a restaurant.
So you're reading reviews.
I might dabble.
If it's a three-star,
hardly ever look at reviews anyway.
Hmm.
I don't go to Yelp. I don't go to whatever.
Do you look up menus of restaurants before you go
to
them?
Up menus to glance at, see what their offerings are, see if they have a specialty or something like that.
But how do you avoid, you can't avoid the ranking system looking those up on Yelp or Google.
No, it usually shows up when
usually
you look at the
menu. I usually go straight to the restaurant.
Oh.
You go to the website?
Yeah, I will go.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I'm not into the masses necessarily reviews.
You just said if you saw a review, you'd read
asses.
The masses.
The masses.
No,
asses,
if I was looking at a rating, I was curious about a rating, and it, like you said, it was 3.8 out of 5, I might go down and say, okay, why is it 3.8?
But that point, too, is the separator of you reading comments from nameless, faceless a-holes and not.
Yeah, it could be AI bots, too. It could be another restaurant that's tanking their reviews. Well, yeah. I'm throwing AI chatbots at them.
Or is there a whole bunch of 5 stars, and then there's like 2 1-stars because...
Somebody got pissed.
Somebody.
If it's a 3 out of 5, that's probably how it happens.
Right.
Right?
It's or like is it a bunch or of is it a whole fives? Bunch of 3s and 4s? If it's a whole bunch of 3s and 4s, probably less likely to go. If it's a whole bunch of 5s and then a bunch of...
I don't
of...
think it's a 3.8 if it's a bunch of 3s and 4s. I think there's a bunch of 4.5s.
I can't tell you the last time I even looked at the rating of a restaurant. Accidentally. Because I don't always look at menus. If I do, I'm with Swag. I usually somehow end up on the, like, I don't look. I'll just click on the website of the restaurant and go look at the menu that way.
Yeah.
I don't like knowing what people say about a restaurant. Hmm. I want to shape my own opinion out of it. Like, if I leave a restaurant and I don't like it, then it's, all right, that's, you know, if you wanted to give it a 2-star, that's fine. Yeah. I don't want other people dictating my thought of the restaurant before I go in.
Well, the reason I asked is we had coworkers debating this yesterday, and I can't remember how it was brought up, but we looked up a restaurant in Woodburn that me and another coworker really like. And somebody looked it up, and this coworker chimed in and was like 3.8. And I was like,
bad rating.
I'm not going to eat there sub 4. And I said, what?
sub 4.
And they said, if the rating is sub 4, I will not eat there.
You're just locking yourself
and
out.
That's a very odd. So if it's like a 3.75, a 3.8, you're not going to eat there? And they were like, no.
What? Yeah,
that's an odd position to take to me.
I can't live that way. That's like not seeing a movie because the rating isn't great. What if it's right up your alley and you end up loving it, but it only has a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that might be your favorite movie of all time. The crowd that saw it just didn't happen to like it as much as you.
Or it says 95%. You watch it and go,
you're like, well, that wasn't very good.
I don't get this.
That wasn't that good of a movie.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, you know where I walk into the most restaurants without even looking anything up is like a post-golf round.
Sure, you're just in the area.
We're just in an area and somebody goes, dude, let's go get a taco or let's go get a burger or whatever it is.
Need a bite to eat after your round.
I will blindly walk into a place. I'll evaluate. I'll give my thoughts before I order the food. I'm like, we'll see how this goes.
Take a look at the menu.
But I still order food and I still end up eating it.
Right. Whether it's good or bad, I'm still going to eat the food when it shows up.
I won't look it up at all.
the getting a truly bad, like I have a very low bar for the enjoyment experience at a restaurant. Like, I know not every place is going to be a 5-star Michelin, you know, this is the best meal you've ever had. As long as the cost is under control, I can understand and accept just about anything. Outside of an undercooked thing that could give me food poisoning.
Yeah.
Like, I got a low bar, dude. Did you fill my stomach? Yeah. Was it affordable? All right, I'm okay.
Well, affordability is another thing. Like you said, if it's a 3-something.
Like, we went to a restaurant last year. You got food poisoning out of it. I thought it was one of the worst restaurant experiences I've ever had. We went to the same place.
Yeah.
And it was bad food and expensive. It was a combination that you just can't overcome.
That's a rare
combo,
though.
It's a rarity, and I will never eat at that place again. I'm not, like, never in a million years will I go back there.
I won't eat at that whole place ever again because I had another bad experience this year.
It's not happening.
At an expensive restaurant that's since been closed down.
But if I, like, we have a place nearby our house that's like it's more of a bar, so it's more kind of bar type food, and maybe people view that differently than a normal quote unquote restaurant, but they got burgers and all that kind of stuff on there. The food isn't great, but I know what I'm getting going in.
Yeah.
It's like $13 for a chicken of, you know, chicken tenders and fries. Like, all right, that's good. That's gonna fill my hole for the day. That's all I need.
I hear that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying on that.
Like, I have a very, and I'm that way with a lot of stuff. Like, if you beat my bare threshold, as long as you're not charging me an arm and a leg, I'm not leaving you a bad review.
So we stayed at a cabin a couple weeks ago, and we ate at a restaurant that's right off the highway up near Mount Hood, and we were staying, like, maybe a mile away from it. So we're like, let's get some breakfast at it, right? Yeah. Had all these great reviews. They put it in the guest book of, go eat at this place. So we go eat at the place. It looks every bit the restaurant you would want to eat at up at the mountain. It is, and I'm not exaggerating, some of the worst cooked breakfast food I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
And I've had some bad breakfast experiences.
Who hasn't
before.
Had some bad breakfast food over the
but
years?
But I'm talking like chicken fried steak where the fried part is soggy. The steak is like the cheapest possible cut of steak you could imagine to order. Yeah. The potatoes are burned. But they're soggy and they're oversalted.
That's not good.
My daughter's crepe was like just jam-packed with cream cheese way too much.
That's not good.
It was just like overall. And like the total of the restaurant, you know, every meal's $20.
Right, right. So you get five different foods. Yeah. It adds up pretty quickly.
We're spending $80 to $100 and we're like, I don't know about this, man. But I didn't review it. I didn't rank it. I didn't star it.
No, you're just not going to go back to
it. I just will never eat there again.
I also feel like, based on the judging I have going in of a place, I know if I want to get frisky today or if I'm going to keep it in a wheelhouse.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, you go in, if I'm going into a place and I'm not liking the exterior look and the inside vibe, I'm not getting chicken fried
steak.
You're
staying comfortable.
I'm getting eggs.
And toast.
And toast.
Yep, and
maybe
hash browns.
Maybe a sausage link and some hash browns. Like, that's, you know, let's keep it basic. Amen. I feel like everybody can do that to a... you know, base level, and I'm not rolling the dice here on something exotic. I'm not getting an Eggs Benedict here if I don't like the exterior appearance. I'm not trusting your Eggs Benedict.
Get some crab Benedict? Where do you get your crab?
Out of a can.
It's out of the freezer. We get the frozen packs from Costco.
Amen, dude. I'm with you. I just, if it's 3.5, I'll eat it.
Yeah, I'll eat it. I got no beef with that.
We have a lot to get to today. Let's start with the NBA playoffs. We'll start there. Loaded show. We got Ben Golliver at 9 a.m. Dirt and Sprague. We get it going next on 105.1 The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Good morning. Happy hump day, everybody. How we doing? How we feeling out there?
My answer to that would be, who the F cares?
Okay. Well, there's that.
Mike, that wasn't very nice.
Thanks, Mike.
Come on, man. I care about how you're doing.
No kidding.
I'm thinking about everybody today.
I think he's doing okay. He's with Harbaugh.
He's doing fantastic.
And Herbert.
He's got his pants all rolled up. He's living the dream down in Los Angeles right now.
I might have deleted a play or two if I saw my quarterback in that music video. I might have been like, well, we're not going to do that play. Scratch that one off.
This is the old, based on his offseason. This is the ultimate make or break.
Oh,
here.
Oh man, it really
you
might
either,
be.
You either do something big, finally, or you don't, and that's all anybody's going to point to.
Did we do a poll question on that?
I can't remember if we did or not.
Either.
We can throw one out today if we want. But him making out with Madison Beer in a music video, it's either going to turn his career around in terms of postseason success, or man, that's going to define him.
You imagine if he was a Husky quarterback, what you would have been saying about that performance.
They're in love. It's two young people in love, Brandon, okay? Who am I to sit here and besmirch the word of love?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, man. a lot to get to. Speaking of love, did you see, I know, side note, I wanted to get to the basketball stuff. Did you see Uribe for the Brewers
last
night?
Did I see Uribe? Yes, I saw Uribe.
Dude, so the one of the closing pitchers, the relief pitchers for the Brewers last night, comes in the eighth.
And Abner Uribe,
Abner
think is his
Uribe,
name?
Thank you. He comes in. He's a little bit of a pinch. Brewers are up. It's the eighth inning. Final at bat. Was two outs at least in the inning. Strikes somebody out on the Cardinals. He then points up to the sky.
Yep, you got to do the thank Jesus.
Thank you, God.
For the strikeout. Appreciate it.
Then turns to the Cardinal bench and about 3 to 4, suck, 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 does the DX gesture at the Cardinal bench.
The best part about all of it was that the play, and I don't know if it's why he did the crotch chop or if he always crotch chops. I have a lot of questions here after I saw this. I haven't seen much Brewers baseball yet this season. Was that the pitch was being challenged while he was crotch chopping. It was a 3-2 pitch on
the
corner. They called
it
strike three. The batter immediately taps on his head, and maybe it was a crotch chop of like, I know that was a strike, bitch. I'm going to crotch chop you. Because watch this replay, and it ended up staying a strike. I don't know if that was the background, but that was the funniest part, that he's doing that while the umpire's like, the call has been reviewed. And it is strike three, and he's like, yeah, that's right. Crotch chopping his way back to the bench.
Pancakes Murphy not happy about it, said it was an embarrassing
shut
moment.
Shut up, Murphy. Why don't you put another pancake in your pocket and shut up, all right? Let's have a little fun. I got this going on. Did you see Will Clark, I guess, does a podcast? I don't know why the video showed up in my algorithm.
We've played Will Clark's podcast audio. I forgot what he said, but we had a clip like a year or so ago where he said something hot takey.
I thought about pulling the audio, but then it would take Swag 19 minutes to bleep out all the cuss words in it. Because every other word was bleep this, bleep that, bleep this. And boy, oh boy, did he not like my team doing the Hingle McCringleberry triple pump when you're 15 games below 500.
Well, it's one thing to go from that dance to the Jenna Jameson is how I would describe the next one.
I can't wait to see where they're going to go from here. They didn't win last night, so you can't do it. At least I don't think they did. But
no, they were getting housed by the D-backs.
Yeah, I went to bed, and I was like, this is not happening tonight. I'm not going to see any triple pumps.
Yeah, I mean, look,
have some fun, man. Calm down, Pat. It was hilarious. One of your guys might get drilled today, but other than that,
I kind of get it. It's a pretty weird, awful look to be doing that at an entire bench.
Can I say this? It's one of the few things that I love about college baseball.
They are certainly.
Dude, they will talk. They talk
your face.
So much S in college
baseball.
I think
it was the LSU guy. I'm pretty sure it was LSU. I wasn't watching closely. I got accused yesterday, by the way, of poo-pooing OSU baseball.
Yeah, you're a poo-pooer. You're Bummer Brandon. That's
to which
what you
I'd
do.
Say, you can question my OSU baseball fandom. I'm not really entirely certain why you need to ask why I watch or follow women's basketball as somebody who's very noted on the show with two daughters.
We're taking.
And what does that have to do with OSU baseball, by the way?
We're taking your beaver card away.
You're bordering on sexist comment is what you're doing there. I coach and I participate in women's basketball. That's why I watch it. I don't poo-poo OSU baseball. I just don't watch a lot of it. That's not poo-pooing.
That's a poo-poo. You poo-pooed.
It's not poo-pooing.
I heard you say on the show yesterday, you're taking the Ducks to win the regional. How dare you? How dare you?
I never at any one point said that on the show. We have a show bet.
I think you're a secret duck honk over there. You probably you got Puddles as a tramp stamp tattoo, don't you?
Here's a funny fact. Do you know the ticket price of Washington State, Oregon State is double the price of Oregon Yale at the Eugene regional?
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
You're hosting the regional.
That's fantastic.
And our tickets are twice the price.
You see what our school had to do? So they had to buy, they didn't have to, but they decided to, thankfully. They bought, there's like 1,200 seats that are GA admission.
Yeah.
That would have gone up for public sale.
And you know who would have bought them.
And the university bought them and they're giving them to the students because they knew nobody would want to go. Because
they know who's going to
yeah,
buy them.
It'd be all orange and black in that stadium.
Orange and black.
Not on my watch.
What was I saying? I forgot what. Anyways, I'm not poo-pooing OSU baseball. I just don't watch it. It's not my favorite college baseball. But I saw some regional stuff or some conference championship stuff, and I think it was LSU. The pitcher had a strikeout, and he legitimately called the entire other dugout a bitch.
It's fantastic.
Like, loudly, too.
I love it, dude.
They didn't even make the tournament.
LSU didn't make the tournament?
No, they won last year, and they did not make it.
That's pretty shocking, right, for LSU?
That's crazy for LSU.
Almost the entire SEC gets in.
Maybe it wasn't LSU then. Maybe it was Georgia or something. Yeah. I think Georgia won the SEC.
Okay.
Yeah,
they got to the SEC title game.
Take your word for it.
But whoever it was, I was watching, and they totally turned the dugout, and they're like, yeah, bitch! And then they turn around and go back to their dugout. Like, that's college baseball.
It's fantastic. It's great. It's one of the reasons it's very entertaining.
More.
I've also, every time I see a highlight of college baseball, on the SEC, I do wonder how anybody gets a recruit to go anywhere else. Like, a pockets of the country that, like, not just one school, because you guys love college baseball. Mm-hmm. We don't really, you know, it's like, hey, we're here. Look at that.
But yeah, but they have 10, 12, 15,000
seat stadiums. Dude, everywhere you go, they're like AAA stadiums.
Yes.
They're all sold
they're
out.
They're all tailgating.
Everywhere you go,
games.
It's a huge, like, how would you as a recruit get to, like, if I did visits to different places?
Yeah.
Like, UCLA was the number one team in the country this year. Yeah. They were dominant. They didn't lose a game essentially all year.
I mean, it's LA.
It's LA. I get it. Living in LA is nice. But even when we were there and it was Oregon, UCLA, and it was, like, something on the line at the end, like, it was, I mean, it was fine. There were people there, but nowhere close to like an Arkansas game or an LSU game.
Or Mississippi State game.
Yes.
UCLA's ballpark is on campus, right?
I don't know. I can't tell. I don't
think
know the answer.
I think
yeah,
it
Jackie
is.
Robinson Stadium.
It's in Westwood.
It's on the campus of the school.
If it's not on campus, it's very near it.
And the difference between being in Westwood the whole time versus driving to Pasadena.
Oh, it's huge. It's a game changer.
It's a night and day difference.
Yes,
there.
It is.
So I hear what you're saying, though, overall. Like, the South and the way that they care about college
they're
baseball.
They're all invested. Not just one school or a pocket.
No,
they're all invested.
All
in.
In.
So everywhere
that's
you
why
go.
Sankey is of the belief if we have to go do our own thing,
yeah.
We can survive.
All those fan bases and, you know, very few of them are near big professional cities.
Well, there's no professional baseball down there. You have teams in Florida and
you have
the Braves, and that's it.
What I was going to say is there's no pro sports. That's the other thing.
No.
So college football and baseball,
that's their thing.
Because they're so separated too, like basketball kind of crosses over into the football season.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
And so I think the fans, they go, but they don't really like care as much until football's fully done. And then if their team sucks, which a lot of those SEC teams in basketball tend to suck.
And Florida just won a national title. Look what their football team hasn't done anything in 10 years.
Right. It's like an easy pivot into the baseball.
Yeah.
Where you're getting titles from Vandy, LSU, you know what I mean?
Right. Tennessee, the guy who we hired as manager, they were a great program. I believe did Tennessee get a national title?
Right.
Or at least they came close, so they got a lot of good programs.
They're always in a conversation. Yeah. But like that's over. Like Arkansas, I saw a funny hat. I don't know if it was on the internet and fake, but I saw a B fan that had runner on third It was the Arkansas-Oregon State title game situation.
Oh, where they blew it and when they dropped
the foul ball.
Where they dropped, they just watched the foul ball drop in front of three guys.
Last
and
non-
it was on the back of a hat, and it was a runner on third on the diamond.
So it was like the score bug on the hat, basically.
It was like a score bug.
Oh, that's
and an OSU fan was like, I got to get this hat. And I'm like, that's a great troll to the SEC.
Last non-SEC team to win the NCAA baseball title.
Was Oregon State?
That year.
Really?
They've won that many? When was that Oregon 2018? State title? 2018?
18,
they've won five
17.
In a row, seven in a row, six
seven,
in a row?
Six whatever. Or seven in a row.
I mean, it's their, wow. To your point, yeah. It's everything.
How is there not like a, Cal, you know, like Cal State Fullerton would randomly get one or a big, like.
I wonder about like Arizona.
That's a lot
Arizona
in a row.
States.
Well, part
like,
of it is
they've
started dominating, getting all the seeds. So that five of the top eight seeds, I think, are SEC.
They're hosting them. Yeah.
So not only do they get a host a regional, they would be hosting a super regional if they win.
Yeah, so you're just staying in town.
Well, I thought about what you said, and I've been thinking about the listener saying a poo-pooing. It is, I can't really tell you a whole lot, but I am fascinated by your point of the rivalry meaning something.
It's the only sport where it can actually mean something.
Well, because we'll talk
basketball,
about
basketball. Technically, could we just both suck right now?
Well, we'll talk about the rivalry at 7 because we got local news yesterday. But it is a fascinating thing to look at the regional and say if Oregon and Oregon State play and they're playing for the rights to go to the super regional. It's hard. When's the last time we had the game
with something on the line?
A game between those two institutions with stakes, like real stakes.
Basketball won't be it because they played too early in the season and we sucked.
Did they ever meet in a Pac-12 tournament game like
in the baseball?
In basketball.
The year that Oregon State went to the Elite Eight, they upset Oregon.
That's right.
Mm.
And they had to win the whole thing to get in.
To get in.
So that was probably
that was it.
But that's not even
but
with
still,
that.
The three of us had to conjure that up.
Well, I think also Oregon went to the tournament that year, so
yeah, that's the other thing.
Them.
Like the one that comes to my mind is probably the landings for Civil War, because you guys were going for 10 wins, right? You were 9-2.
Let me look that season up.
I mean, you guys had 8-3
because you guys had 9 that year with that loss, right? In the regular season,
yes, because Georgia, Washington, and Oregon State. And if Oregon would have won, they were in the Pac-12 championship game. They controlled their own destiny to go
2019?
Play. 2019?
Or 2021?
No, it's after that. 22, maybe?
Was it 22?
Because it was after COVID. Mario was still there during COVID. I want
right,
to say it was 22.
Right. 10 wins.
And you guys
they lost their bowl game, the Vegas Bowl.
Yeah. So you guys were going for a dream season to get to double-digit wins. Oregon was playing for a Pac-12 championship appearance. I think it would have been Oregon-USC in the Pac-12 title, and then they lost, and then Utah ended up going and smoking USC and Lincoln Riley. So that's the last one that felt real to me, because then the next year it was Jonathan was leaving, the Pac-12 was dying, Oregon smoked them, and then the next two Civil Wars just felt like bastard versions of it. So, yeah, it's been a minute since we've actually had any heat on the rivalry where there's something on the line. And the other part of it, too, is that
that's a really good poll by you, the double-digit win thing.
Like, that was, that was a big accomplishment. Like, Oregon State doesn't have a lot of those in their history, so to get to 10 wins is a big deal.
Actually, no, that was for 9 because they beat Florida
Florida.
That Vegas Bowl.
And they kicked
the
field
10.
Goal to avoid the shutout.
Florida,
that was that
Napier.
Vegas Bowl. But the other part of it that's exciting, too, is that, Oregon obviously has a chance because they're hosting the regional. But for Oregon State, if they end up winning it, you don't know who's going to win the other ones. You might end up hosting a super regional out of it, depending on how things
That's
go.
True.
You could get a couple upsets here or there. Obviously, if you win the regional, you've knocked one team out because Oregon's ranked higher than you, or at least seeded or however it works. Mm. So you still have a chance if you win to host a super regional in Corvallis.
The first game is Friday, right? Friday.
Yeah. Beavs are at
Friday
noon.
At noon.
Ducks are at 5.
Yeah. So we'll at least have the weekend of festivities.
It'll be great, man. It's going to be fun to watch college
to
baseball.
To react to and have Monday, and you're either going to laugh at me or I'm going to go, oh.
Well, and talk about college baseball getting spicy. Like, that's one of the reasons I ended up watching college baseball at the end of the year, because Oregon and UCLA were screaming at each other, and I'm seeing these clips on Twitter, and I'm like, wait, this game's going on? And I turned it on. They had a guy run over our third baseman in the Big Ten championship game and then act like he shouldn't get thrown out.
He got ejected for it and got pissed.
Yeah, dude.
What are you doing?
You lowered your shoulder into a guy on the infield. That's not a natural move,
I think,
buddy.
Much like college basketball, for me as a sports fan, college baseball is one of those, like, I'm seeing – what's going on? I'm following.
Yeah.
I knew relatively where Oregon was.
General idea.
I knew where Oregon State was, obviously, because I get the emails and I get the updates and whatnot. It's one of those, like, I really learn about the sport once the tournament gets going. For me.
Now we'll start watching.
Now I know a lot of you fans out there, you're living and dying with every game.
You know what you're doing right now?
What?
It's called a poo-poo.
I'm not poo-poo.
That's a poo-poo.
I'm not no poo-poo.
And you're poo-poo.
No poo-poo.
I think that was a bit of a poo-poo.
No, papa. No poo-poo. No poo-poo.
Why you got poo-poo?
I'm not poo-pooing. No poo-pooing. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
You're going a little Italian there.
I don't know why. No poo-poo.
Giuseppe.
No papa. No poo-poo. Go Beavs.
You know who doesn't poo-poo their program? Us.
That's because you guys don't care about
it. We host regionals, baby. That's what we do. Why don't you put that banner up there? You guys ever done that before?
You guys can't sell tickets to your own fan base. That's hilarious that you bought the GA ticket.
We got it, students. You can come now.
All right. We didn't get to the NBA there. Let's talk. Thunder take the series lead 3-2. They win game 5, and they're on the brink of maybe going to the NBA Finals. Let's talk about that coming up next on The Fan. Well, it's a hump day. You know what that means. Stat or story. Get into that.
And you got a hump today.
Well, you got to get your hump on.
You got to do both.
I love meat.
Was just listening to a song during the break that I think he should report to HR and turn our boss in.
Yeah, I think I need to. I'm very offended right now. Well, my boss sent me on Instagram last night.
Don't know why an individual is even listening to that song. But
I got questions about what's in his algorithm. What are we watching, Bram? What are we scrolling through that makes that one pop up?
Especially at 6:40 in the morning.
Yeah, well, it's 10:30 cent last night. I just I don't have notifications on my Instagram, so I don't get stuff when people send it to me. But when I open it, I'll see it, and then I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here.
He would defend himself and say, "You know, Andy's also a girl's name.
It's also his dad's name."
Is it really?
Yeah.
Boy, that makes that even weirder. Why are you listening to that song?
He said he sent it to his dad too. He sent it to both of us, the two Andys in his life.
Look. I know I have my own issues.
Yeah.
I know I'm a weird dude.
Yeah, you are a very weird guy.
I love when people point out how weird I am while not maybe acknowledging how bizarre they can also be.
I'll give you a gist of the song.
Right in the butt.
Kind of, that's the vibe. Yeah. You know? That's a little bit of the vibe. Or a little bit of this.
Eat your own butt.
Well, a little bit of that going on, too. You know?
You didn't need to go that
Just
far.
Painting the picture for everybody.
Okay,
you know, happy hump day out there.
You send it to Swag. He'll put it
as
a rejoin.
Get the out of here.
The Oklahoma City Thunder went up 3-2 last night.
That they did.
Any thoughts?
Sure. You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Game kind of sucked.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. Do we memory hole basketball specifically, like series? I know we do this. We can do this in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this epic game one.
Yes.
It's a clash of the Titans. It is who the hell is going to win this series?
Double overtime.
The freak has maybe arrived here. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. How are they going to defend this? Look at OKC. Epic. We haven't had a close or great game, I would argue, since. Game two kind of sucked.
Game two was not great.
Game three wasn't terrible,
but not great. Game three, yeah, it was a... 10-point Thunder win.
Game four was a blowout. And last night was close-ish, but Wimby didn't really have it going.
No.
And ultimately, Oklahoma City just pulled away. Dylan Harper had 5 points.
Yeah, he
struggled. Darren Fox was terrible.
Yep.
And Oklahoma City pulls away. Do we memory hole series in the NBA where we pretend, like we say Cavs-Warriors, right? That's the kind of the standard modern era series we hold up and say, since that series.
I don't know if the NBA will ever touch those ratings marks again.
Maybe they won't, but what I was going to say is if you actually go look at the game by game.
Mm-hmm. There were some blowouts in there.
A lot of blowouts.
Game six, I want to say, too, to send it to a seven was a Cleveland blowout, if I'm not wrong. I think they had them back on home floor, and they were up by like 20 the entire game.
They housed them, and then they sent it to game seven. Like, I just want to know if we memory hole it, because I don't know if game six will be good.
No.
If it does go to game seven, that certainly will be interesting. But I know the series overall hasn't been great, but do we
see, and I will
memory
actually,
hole
yeah,
NBA series?
I'm okay. Like, I'm understanding enough of in a 7-game series, not every game's going to be a classic. Like, even though last night's game wasn't great, I'm still very compelled by the series. I don't think it's over. You're going back to San Antonio for game six. Wemby, to your point, was hurt. Like, he couldn't make a shot to save his life last night. He's clearly showed us that he can be more impactful than that on the offensive end. You get the SGA whistle, which then leads to comments after the game, which I know we'll get to, but he shoots 17 free throws. He goes 16 to 17. So will he hit that number again, or will there be a course correction from the NBA? Of like, yeah, let's let him play a little bit more, and does that benefit San Antonio come game six? And then once you get to a game seven, everything's kind of out the window and anything can happen at that point. I do think there's times where we have this thought, looking back fondly on series as if every game was great, and that's never really the reality. I'm okay acknowledging bad games, still a very good and compelling series, because even for last night, where OKC's up by double digits in the second quarter, They, I want to say, had, what, a 13-point lead at halftime, somewhere in that range. Like, you're still within striking distance. And for every time, really outside, I can't remember a ton about the details of game four when it was a San Antonio blowout. But even last night, there were a couple moments where the Spurs cut it down to, like, six, and there was a timeout by OKC late in the third, early in the fourth, and you're like, oh, all right. Like, you're not turning the game off uninterested. It just didn't live up quite to game one. And so it's a bit of a dud of a game for me, but overall, I'm still very compelled. I think a series has been good.
Yeah.
Because you're going to a game six back in San Antonio, and I think the Spurs have a great chance to win that. And then again, by the time you get to a game seven, who the hell knows what will happen.
I think that's a fair point, because they had that timeout. Wimby starts yelling at his guys.
Yeah, they're going at it a little bit.
I think they went on a 9-0 run. Right. They cut into the deficit. It got a little like, oh my god, they're going
to
do this?
It was kind of similar to game two in that way for me, where it felt like OKC was in control the entire game. San Antonio would make their little runs. Ultimately not enough, but it was enough to keep you around and compelled by the game.
Caruso was good for them last night.
Yeah, he was.
Hartenstein was good for them last night. SGA took a while to get going, but he eventually got it going. They didn't have A.J. Mitchell. They didn't have J-Dub. So
did not matter.
A pretty impressive win. Jared McCain in the second half went nuclear.
Yes, he did.
You know, he couldn't stop missing. But do you think this is going seven?
I do. I'm gonna die on the hill. Now, I took San Antonio last night, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt when I pick up game six.
Because they won 3 of 4 OKC.
They have. They have, since losing game one in a double overtime game, which, by the way, they easily could have won game one as well, right?
Yep.
And at that point, the series would have been over, although that's an alternate history. We don't know if it plays out exactly the same way. I think a young San Antonio team back on their home floor will have a better night shooting the basketball. They had a really, like, it wasn't just Wemby. There were a lot of guys. You mentioned Harper, who was bad.
He had 5 points.
He was 1 of 5 or 1 of 6 from the floor. Like, you had some guys in the starting lineup who, you know, came out 2 of 9 from three.
Fox was awful in
Fox
this game.
Had a rough game. So I think there's a bounce back component to it. I think that's one of the things that makes it a compelling series, is that every time we see somebody seemingly have the upper hand, the other team has responded. I brought this up on the show yesterday. San Antonio surprises some and wins game one on the road. What happens next? OKC wins the next two games. Oh, here comes OKC. San Antonio blows him out in game four. Oh, here comes San Antonio.
I know.
And then OKC controls game five. So it's kind of been one of those series that goes ebbs and flows. And I do think I'll die on the hill. I think San Antonio wins game six. Then you get a game seven. Anybody's guess is as good as mine of how good game seven goes. But as long as you get to a game seven, that's still a hell of a Western Conference Finals.
Let me ask you this then, in relation to the New York Knicks, who are sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
Have you opened the door of the idea that no matter who it is, the Knicks win the title? Because I think I did yesterday.
That they will win the title, or they can win the title?
I don't know who's going to win the title. I most people probably pick whatever West team wins it. But
yeah,
as I watch this and I see Oklahoma City dealing with kind of a couple injuries where I don't know what the return and the timetable is, they can be a little funky. And the Spurs having these young learning moments, I kind of look at it and I go, why not? Like, I don't know if I lean Oklahoma City or San Antonio if they get to the finals. I know yesterday I said if it was San Antonio, I would bet the Knicks, and if it was OKC, I'd bet OKC. I think I'm going to bet the Knicks no matter what. I think the Knicks can really do this.
I'm going to do it either way because I want to root for the Knicks, and I want to root for my bets to win. And I don't want to, outside of the Cowboys, which I know that goes in the face of that from earlier in the show, I want to root for the team that I want to win the championship in this case.
Yeah.
So either way, and yeah, dude, after last year, we have to give them a puncher's chance.
I agree.
I didn't think Indiana had a snowball's chance in hell.
I know.
At competing, and without an Achilles, maybe they win the NBA Finals. So this is going to be a knockout, dragout fight. The biggest fear I have for New York is the rust in game one.
Yeah.
Do you get blown out in game one, and is that too much? And then you just kind of handed a game away on the road. Now you got to overcome that, because they're going to be sitting around for a while as this thing plays
out. It'll be the same length of games off that they had between rounds two and three.
And what happened in game one and in round three? I know they ended up coming back, but they were horrible for three quarters and then woke up and got it going.
So OKC wins, takes a 3-2 lead going into game six in San Antonio. Loaded second hour of the radio program, kick it off. We got some local news. It's back in our lives. Are we excited about the announcement? That's next, hour two on The Fan.